have the Postel Award. Lynn, would you come up?
Thank you. I do feel like the world is upside down, though, when advisors to ministers dress down and I dress up. So it's a little odd. So we're here today to honor the life and legacy of one of the internets and the IETF's true pioneers, John Postel, and to announce the recipient of this year's Jonathan B. Postel Service Award. During his extraordinary career, John made an enormous contribution to the development of not just the internet, but also the processes, conventions, and culture that make possible internet development as we all know it. And as just one example of John's contributions, he served as the RFC editor for nearly 30 years. John's technical influence can also be seen at the very heart of many of the protocols which make the internet work. But he was not just a part of creating internet protocols, he was a part of creating the internet community, including the IETF. His contribution emerged from a shared view with his fellow pioneers. They understood the potential of an open network of networks, but they knew that such a network would require a different model of development. The internet model we often speak about is defined by the collaborative, inclusive way by which we work together to achieve common aims. This common set of operating values, such as open standards, freely accessible processes, transparent governance, are shared among an ecosystem of communities and organizations that have been central to the development and ongoing evolution of the internet. The Internet Society is part of this ecosystem. John was also the very first individual member of the Internet Society, beating out Vint Cerf by seconds, and he served on our Board of Trustees for a number of years. So each year since John's death, we have celebrated his life by selecting an outstanding individual or organization who carries on his legacy. The first award was made posthumously to John himself. Past recipients of this award are listed on the screen, and these past awardees also form the selection committee. So each year, they single out an individual or organization that has made sustained and substantial technical contributions, been of significant service to the community, and provided clear leadership. With respect to leadership, the committee places particular emphasis on candidates who have supported and enabled others. Today's award recognizes the Computer Science Network, or CSNet, the research networking effort that, during the 1980s, provided not only a critical technical bridge from the original research undertaken through the ARPANET to the modern internet, but also helped establish foundations for the bottom-up processes that define the internet model. CSNet began in 1981 with a 5-year grant from the U.S. National Science Foundation, NSF, and when CSNet concluded 5 years later, it connected more than 165 academic, government, and industrial computer research groups comprised of more than 50,000 researchers, educators, and students across the United States and around the world. Open to all computer researchers, CSNet demonstrated that researchers valued the kind of informal collaboration it made possible. CSNet's success and acceptance encouraged the NSF to undertake the NSFNet program, which brought open networking to an even larger academic community and presaged the emergence of the internet. And CSNet's community-driven, self-sustaining governance structure was an early example of the model that helps ensure that even as the internet grows and evolves, it remains an open platform for innovation around the world. So in many ways, CSNet helps set the stage for the internet that today reaches more than 1.5 billion people around the world. I'm pleased now to present the 2009 Jonathan B. Postel Service Award to CSNet. This award particularly cites the pioneering work of the four principal investigators that conceived and later led the building of CSNet. It's Peter J. Denning, David Farber, Anthony C. Hearn, and Lawrence Landweber, and the U.S. National Science Foundation program officer and visionary responsible for encouraging and funding CSNet, the late Ken Curtis. I'm now pleased to introduce David Crocker, who is here today to accept the award on their behalf.
Thank you, Lynn. By rights, the person who should be standing here is Larry Landweber, professor at
University of Wisconsin, but and if we could just get remote participation to work a bit better, he would be. But he broke his hip and asked me to be here in his stead. And so on behalf of the rather large number of CSNET contributors, I'd like to say how honored we are to be selected by ISOC for this award. The Postel Award captures John's unique contribution, which was service to the internet community. In honor of that spirit, the prize money will be donated to charities that support the internet. The goal of CSNET was to introduce networking to a much, much broader community than it had previously been available to by greatly lowering the cost and the effort to join the net. Lynn gave a listing of the principal investigators and National Science Foundation leads for this. I should also mention that Bill Kern was the initial program oversight at NSF. And in addition to Peter Denning at Purdue was Doug Comer. They did an IP over X25 connection. And it's interesting at this point to think how few people have had experience with X25. In some presentations, I ask who has not heard of X400, and it's a large number. At the University of Delaware, besides Dave Farber and myself, was Ed Zerkowski. We operated the East Coast Relay and did the development for the MMDF software, which did the gatewaying over telephone and the ARPANET and then Internet. At the RAND Corporation, Tony Hearn had Mike O'Brien, and they were running the West Coast Gateway, thereby following John's dictum that real reliability required being on a separate tectonic plate. And at the University of Wisconsin, besides Larry, was Marvin Solomon and Michael Litsko, and they did a name server that was a precursor to today's directory services. Later was added at Bulperanic and Newman, Dick Edmonston, Laura Breeden, Craig Partridge, and Dan Long did the CSNET Coordination and Information Center, which really began the customer support model that ISPs sometimes provide us. A little historical perspective. This was 30 years ago. This week I've been struck by thinking that 20 years ago, Ross Callan, Bob Hinden, my brother Steve, and I were among the set named as the initial area directors for the IETF. But that, so that was 20 years ago. 30 years ago, the world was rather different than we know it today. In 1980, the backbone of the ARPANET was 56 kilobits per second. And if you had to access a system remotely with a terminal, there were no PCs, you had 0.3 kilobits per second as a typical dial-up access, and if you were really lucky, it was 1.2 kilobits per second. There was still quite a bit of skepticism about networking and in the non-networking community. Some proposal reviewer comments for CSNET included, the proposal expects 100 users, which were really organizations, by end of year 5. Can the net handle the traffic generated by 100 organizations? I am concerned that the reliance on TCP/IP will set a de facto standard which may be inappropriate for networking. Short list of contributions CSNET made. Lynn touched on several of them. Within the networking community, this was the first time DARPA delegated authority to an outside group, albeit a government group, for authorizing access to the net. That began a fairly important sequence that we rely on today. Outside the community, as I say, there was this demonstrated an importance of networking to a rather broader industrial and academic community, and yes, they really did still need convincing. On the technical side, the CS network provided justification for the National Science Foundation to require use of TCP/IP in NSFNet. But most important in my mind is the strategic arc that CSNet played a role in, which was that NSF provided only initial funding, requiring CSNet to develop its own sustaining funding. And what that led to was that charging for service with differential pricing, and of course that meant higher pricing to industry, that created a kind of partnership for government, industry, and academic due to the entrepreneurial style that was taken. And in the long run, I believe that that set up the kind of commercial model and distributed model we have for the internet today. Let me plant one seed, which is perhaps a bit whimsical. I think that CSNet set the stage for some work that's underway in the IETF community today. The telephone dial-up mechanism we use for doing email required a different model than we have and had, which relies the email model we have that we typically rely on says everybody is connected to everybody, which means if I have mail for you, I push it to you. With the telephone system, and especially with telephone costs in those days, that was not possible, which meant that attachments were only occasional, and that when an attachment occurred, mail had to flow in both directions. This required some technical adjustments to the way the email protocol was used over the phone. And there came a time in the development of the initial SMTP specification, with John overseeing that, in which I raised the idea of putting something like that into email. And that was where the turn command, for those of you who are into SMTP, came from, the initial version of which didn't work. But Vint was in the room, and Vint Cerf was a program manager at ARPA in those days, and therefore always worried about things like how to sell and fund activities. And he listened to this for a moment and thought, and then he said, submarines. And I think this was the beginning of the delay-tolerant networking work. Again, thank you all.
So this is a globe that has the quote, which is actually on the screen up there. The award also consists of a $20,000 check, and the CSNet principals that were listed in the award are actually going to donate that to a charity, although the discussions continue with respect to which charity. So thank you.
Thank you.